You're listening to Inside the County Board, an exclusive partnership between News Talk 1130 WISN and the Milwaukee County Board of Supervisors.
Welcome back. I'm Harold Mester. County Board's Finance and Audit Committee has spent much of October and November taking a look at the 2011 county budget. It was proposed by County Executive Scott Walker in September, and the committee has been going line by line, making some amendments along the way, and we're going to get into some of those tonight. Joining me in the studio is Steve Kreklo, who is the budget director for Milwaukee County. And Steve, we want to thank you for joining us here this afternoon.
Well, thank you for having me.
Or this evening, whatever it is.
Yeah.
So the board's version of the budget really doesn't differ a whole lot from what the county executive had proposed, but there are some changes. The original budget maintained most of the county services at about the same levels as 2010, and no furlough days for employees, but there are there is a plan in place that if we don't reach some of the changes that that are included in the budget, there could be some furlough days for some union employees. Now, Steve, we have you on the program because you've been working with the Finance and Audit Committee almost daily, really, throughout much of October on the budget. What's it like for you as a staff person to you know, have to deal with seven politicians all asking you questions at the same time?
Good question. Well, it certainly has been a grueling process. I know that there's been a lot of hours put in and awful lot of hard work. But, you know, I have to give a lot of credit to all of the supervisors, Chairman Holloway, especially Chairwoman Coggs for her efforts leading the Finance and Audit Committee. She runs a really great meeting, keeps everybody mm-hmm. in line and on track. So it's been a very productive process. And, you know, again, I have to give a lot of credit to the supervisors. They do their homework coming in. They ask very good questions of staff. And I think, you know, have a lot of very valuable input into the process.
Yeah, and, you know, Supervisor Coggs, the way she chairs a meeting, I mean, it's always with respect and decorum. And, you know, every supervisor, no matter what their, you know, their political or philosophical positions may be, they always say that she has run extremely inclusive meetings for the Finance Committee.
Yeah, I think she's one of the real shining stars as far as how the meetings are run and the level of participation that she allows from all of the different supervisors, from members of the public who come to participate in the process, and you know, makes sure that everything is kept cordial and professional and keeps the committee work on track and on focus.
Well, and you and your staff have done a good job through this process. I know there have been some tense times in front of the committee, and there have been times where it's been difficult to explain some of the technical aspects of the budget, and you and your staff have been very patient in dealing with those things. So we thank you for that.
Well, I appreciate it.
Well, let's get into the meat of the budget here. Tomorrow morning, the county board is going to start the budget adoption meeting. We don't know when it's going to end. It could end late at night. I know last year we went until 1:30 in the morning, approximately. So we are going to have a budget adopted, though. This isn't going to be like the state legislature where it takes months of bickering to get something done. We are going to have a budget adopted, hopefully tomorrow. Can you just kind of bring us up to date on what the Finance Committee has done so far? And I know everybody is concerned about the tax levy, especially with the current economy that we're facing. Right now, we're just a hair under a 2% increase, right?
Correct. The Finance and Audit Committee passed a total of about 48 amendments. The tax levy, as adopted by the Finance and Audit Committee, would go up about $5.3 million, which is a little bit under 2%. So,
I think we were saying 1.999%.
That sounds about right. Yeah.
Which is actually, you know, if that stays intact throughout the budget adoption, that would be one of the lowest in a number of years. I don't have a list right in front of me, but probably among the lowest that we've seen in the last decade.
Yeah,
I think we saw a small increase and maybe a small decrease a couple years, but that was 6 or 8 years ago.
Yeah, 2% is definitely one of the lower increases. I think if you look around at other units of local government or look at tax levy increases historically, a 2% increase is one of the smaller ones that you'll typically see.
Mm-hmm. Okay, now as far as the amendments are concerned, there were a number of things that were restored in this budget, including funding for the Youth Sports Authority, funding for the detox program, restoring the funding in the partnership with the Hunger Task Force for the Farm and Fish Hatchery, restoring funding for the Criminal Justice Resource Center. I want to highlight that one. We'll get into the rest here in a minute. But the Criminal Justice Resource Center, the board had heard from a number of people in the community that said that particular program was important for making sure people don't go back into prison whenever they come out of jail. And it seemed to be that the county board felt it was worthwhile to restore the funds for that and maybe get some other savings on the back end from that. What was the amount of funding they restored for that? Do you have that there?
You know, the tax levy impact is about $680,000 related to the Criminal Justice Resource Center. And the amendment that they passed did a couple of things. One is that it restored the funding. And the second is that it changed responsibility for the program from the sheriff's office to the court system.
Right.
So that was in addition to restoring the funding, they kind of transferred responsibility for it, which is another significant change.
Yeah, and that's probably a smart move because the courts are the people that that make that resource center part of sentences sometimes. Is that right?
The courts are definitely a key player.
Okay.
They play a very important role, and they've really supported maintaining funding for that program in the past.
Some of the other amendments included some outside consultancy for the Task Force on Work Reform for Men, and then also there was also a significant amendment dealing with the transit system to restore some of the routes that had been cut after midnight or before, like 6 in the morning or something like that.
Right. The transit amendment, I think, is an example of one that is a bit of a win-win, where the transit authority was notified that they had received a grant of over $1 million in additional federal funds for 2011, and the Finance and Audit Committee was able to utilize some of those grant funds to restore some of the service. They made a couple of other modifications to service, and as a result, they were able to restore some of the hours, the overnight hours of service that were reduced in the county executive's recommended budget. So
yeah
I think that'll be a nice change.
That was important for a lot of supervisors because they were worried about people working late shifts, not being able to get to and from work, and they felt that was important, and they took care of it with this amendment. Another big one is a pilot program to institute universal screening within the courts. Can you just tell us what that does? What is universal screening?
Universal screening, there's been a lot of discussion and analysis of this over the past several years. But basically, the concept is to try to gather some key information from individuals who are entering the criminal justice system at the very initial point of contact, and then making that information available to all of the different players in the criminal justice system, including the district attorney's office, the judges, the public defender's office, so that they're able to make better decisions about which folks need to be held in custody or which folks can be allowed out on their own recognizance or under lower bail amounts. So the goal is to be able to get better information on individuals entering the Criminal Justice Resource Center and make that information available to the players who have to make decisions about their where those people are detained and how long they're detained.
We're here with Steve Kreklo, the county's budget director, and joining us, and we appreciate you being able to make it here on short notice. Supervisor Pat Jurczyk is joining us, and she's a member of the Finance and Audit Committee. And Supervisor Jurczyk, thank you very much.
Hello, Harold. Thank you.
What we're doing here is discussing some of the amendments that were made to the county's budget. And I think the biggest amendment to the budget is the one that addresses wages and benefits for both Milwaukee County employees, both actives and retirees. That was a significant amendment, I believe. Was it somewhere in the area of $3.6 million tax levy?
Yep, that's right.
And Supervisor Jurczyk, I know that you supported that amendment. Can you just tell me more about why that was important? And considering that it is the biggest tax levy change on the budget, why you supported it?
Well, actually, this went through several drafts. This was the amendment that I think most of us were the most concerned about, and which we met with our budget advisors many times during the course of the 2 weeks while we were looking through budget. This, this of course, starts to address the issue of employee benefits. And, you know, with the tremendous deficits that we've been dealing with, I think everyone understands that we have to work on getting employee benefits in line with our ability to pay our employees the benefits and so on, and yet try to be fair to our employees. At the same time, we asked them to take significant reductions in benefits last year, and this year is going to be more of the same. So we received the county executive's plan. The finance committee felt that there needed to be a little bit more fairness worked into it, and that was some of the struggles we had.
Supervisor, how would you describe this entire budget process? I know, especially that first few days of the Finance Committee was meeting, it was extremely frustrating because of the budget that you were handed and trying to figure out how you're going to fill this hole of, you know, we had the $24.5 million hole, and then you were keeping track of a list of other phantom revenue or holes you found in the budget. I mean, what is that like as a supervisor?
Well, it's very difficult. I mean, and not to be disrespectful to the county executive and his staff, last year was a tough budget. This year was a tough budget. And we are dealing with deficit budget planning. I mean, there's no getting around that. And yet we also have to be cognizant of what we can legally do, because in Wisconsin you have mandatory bargaining with our unions. And some of the things we tried to do last year are probably questionable in terms of forcing concessions before unions have agreed to them. So this year we tried to still deal with the fact that we're working with deficit budgets, and yet tried to be a little bit more equitable in the way we did it. And yet you can't constantly put cuts on your managerial staff, which is not represented by unions, and ask these individuals to continue to manage employees that are represented by unions under them. I mean, you get to the point where the union representative individuals have better benefits and may in fact have better pay ranges than the managers if you continue just to cut managerial staff. So this is the kind of thinking that goes into the budget. And the kind of work that the Finance Committee was faced with. I often say it's, you almost have to have the wisdom of Solomon to be looking at the kind of budget that we had to deal with.
Now, you had to vote, you voted to support quite a few. I don't have a tally here, but I know some of the key amendments you supported on the Finance Committee. And you have also been consistent in voting in favor of the tax levy and the budget after voting for those things.
Well, I did have my limits. We weren't going to certainly do an unlimited tax
right.
levy increase, but to maintain core services, to still get some concessions with regard to benefits, which we have to get, and to try to still be fair to both the non-representative employees and the representative employees. We ended up with reworking the budget, in my opinion, making it a bit fairer, although still historical concessions, with a 2% increase. And, you know, we were dealing with the deficit with regard to the buses and making sure that people who work second and third shift can still get to work, those kinds of issues. I mean, these are bread and butter, significant issues. We're not talking about any extras in this budget this year. We're talking about really core services.
Well, budget adoption's tomorrow morning, and for folks listening right now, the amendments that were approved in the Finance Committee go to the full board, but also the amendments that failed at committee are also going to be voted on tomorrow morning. So, you know, all of these amendments that came up, even if they didn't get through the Finance Committee, they're going to get one more hearing in front of the board. And the meeting does start at 8:30 in the morning in room 200 of the courthouse. The public is always welcome to attend the county board meetings. We do have an open process. And it'll be interesting to see. Usually the failed amendments don't get approved by the board. I think the vast majority of them don't. So typically it is the finance version of the budget that makes up the majority of what will be adopted. But Supervisor Jurcik, as far as the amendments, do you want to mention the key amendments that you may have sponsored that got through?
Well, one of the ones that I sponsored was the amendment on parks and cultures. Our parks and cultures such as zoo, art museum, Marcus Center, et cetera, I'm asking the board to consider separating the parks culture budget from the remainder of the budget, the health and human services, the courts, the sheriff. Get a separate line item on the tax bill to identify the tax levy that goes into supporting parks and culture.
That's interesting. So that would actually be, so when you would get your tax bill, if this would happen, you'd have your municipality, you'd have your school, you'd have Milwaukee County, MMSD, and then it would be Milwaukee County Parks.
Well,
right?
Parks and Culture,
parks,
correct.
Parks and Culture, yeah.
As a separate line item. So, our constituents can identify what part of their park tax levy goes to support the parks and culture part of our services. And if we increase or decrease those budgets, they will be able to see specifically what the increase for that is. It's an attempt to try to separate parks and cultures from the mandatory services that are often put on the county government from state and federal programs, and often not given full funding. So when we have deficit budgets, such as we've been dealing with, we end up constantly cutting these non-mandatory services, such as parks and cultures, over and over and over again, to the point where we're really starting to hurt in those areas. And I hear constantly from constituents, as do the other supervisors, these are very much desired services across Milwaukee County. And it would be an attempt to try to separate the parks culture budget from these mandatory type of programs that, of course, county government has to provide. But hopefully we can then better preserve these non-mandatory services.
Well, here's what's next. As I mentioned, 8:30 tomorrow morning is the budget adoption meeting. And then we'll have, once that's over, we'll have possible vetoes from the county executive, and those will be considered on November 17th, Wednesday afternoon at 1:30, also in room 200 of the courthouse. And it takes a two-thirds supermajority, so at least 13 out of the 19 members in order to override a veto. We had our public hearing last week, and we had, what would you say, Supervisor? A couple hundred people there for that?
I would go even as high as 500, perhaps, in that room. But there were definitely several hundreds of people there. I think about 50 people spoke because I was keeping tally.
Yeah. Yeah, so we've gotten a lot of feedback from folks on the budget, and it's getting time to cast the votes on it. So that'll be happening tomorrow. We're here with Steve Kreklo, Budget Director, Supervisor Jurcik. Running out of time here. Anything else either of you want to mention in reference to the 2011 county budget?
Well, just that I hope we can continue to provide services. It's definitely going to be a rough year, but we'll try our best.
Okay. Well, thanks to both of you for being on the program tonight.
Thank you.
After the break, we'll be back with Supervisor John Weishon with his thoughts on a long-term approach to address the structural deficit in Milwaukee County. You're listening to the November 7th edition of Inside the County Board on News Talk 1130 WISN.
Homeowners, here's a shocker. You are paying for new windows whether you buy them or